Fred Film Radio, Festival International du Film de Marrakech, Morocco.
Fred Film Radio, I'm David Martos. We're in the 17th edition of the Marrakech Film Festival with director Julien Schnabel. His film At Eternity's Gate opened the festival this weekend. Mr. Schnabel, how does Morocco fit in the strategy of the film after Venice, after the American release?
We showed the movie in Venice, and that was a great experience. And then the movie opened in the United States on November 16th. And so I've been doing a lot of talking about this movie. I guess it's better when people are interested than they're not interested. So, but, you know, Laurence Olivier said that he acted for free. They paid him to do the press. And when you're doing this, you know, like Van Gogh, I mean, in the sense he wanted to paint. His pleasure wasn't in I mean, people always talk about the notion of agreement with others, that he didn't have success in his life. Well, what is success? I think success is doing what you want to do. And when you look, and if you do something and make something out of nothing, and then you look at it and you think, I'm satisfied with that, I'd say that that's success. And everything else is everything else. I mean, I can talk to you about the movie, but me talking about it is not the same thing as the film. So when people tell you their reasons for doing something, they're always lying to you, because the thing is the thing and the reasons are the reasons. So they're not exactly the same. There was an art historian named Leo Steinberg who said that the art comes from the horse's mouth. The artist is just the horse. So that being said, I thought it was a great opportunity to come here and just... but it, in a sense, it was... not something that was to further a careerist kind of opportunity, or, you know, I don't know what's happening in terms of the marketing of this movie, or doing it for that reason. I think we did it to come to Morocco and be here and take a break for a little bit, and it was a great honor. And you can, I actually thought you could sit down with some friends and watch the movie and enjoy it. I mean, a lot of directors will come and they go have dinner during their movie. But I don't really see it as a job, and wanted to see how it felt to watch it with the people. And I like to watch the movie with the people. Unfortunately, there was a woman sitting next to me texting on her cell phone the whole time through the movie, and it was an unbearable experience, and I did not enjoy it. And I think that they should tell people that they have to turn their phones off or take their phones away before they go in, put them in a locker, and give them back at the end, because people are addicted to this now, and it's the manners are terrible.
Speaking about this, what do you find yourself in this debate about watching films at home or watching them in the cinema?
I mean, I think that isn't it? Have you seen the movie?
Yes, I did.
You saw it on a screen, yes?
Yes.
Wasn't it nice? How could you watch the movie on television? I mean, you can, but to sit in a movie theater on a big screen is how it was made. Have you seen the movie Roma? You really want to see that on a big screen. It's great that Netflix is going to distribute the movie, but they still, more people will see it.
But they are facing many problems with that, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, they have screenings. There have been many screenings in the United States, and Alfonso is at a lot of them too. And but to see the movie on a big screen, vale la pena, you know? I mean, and so for me, I like to go to the movies and see a movie on a big screen. Do I like to have people, you know, you don't want to be a fascist about, you want to let everybody do what they want to do, but I think that there ought to be some kind of etiquette, particularly at a film festival, the opening night of something. I think that was totally uncool for these people. I said, if you turn off your phone, maybe you see the movie. Mm-hmm. And she turned it off for a minute, and then she started doing it again. I want to say, if you guys want to leave, it's fine, you know?
Speaking about your film, I heard that the process of editing it was a little bit, I would say, unconventional, right?
We got done shooting on December 10th, and Juliet Welfling, who edited The Diving Bell with me, was not free until April. So we started to assemble the movie and thinking, you know, I mean, we just were too excited, and she put the Avid program on her laptop. We were editing the movie in airplanes in Mexico, in Costa Rica, wherever we went. By the time we got to Paris on February 24th, we were so far gone. It was going to be a totally different movie if Juliet did it. We edited the movie ourselves. for better or worse. But I'm very proud of the editing in the movie. I think it's a big part of the... I mean, you can't really separate the form from the content of this film. I mean, there are things that are said, but there are also equivalences where there's no speaking, there's just music, or there's just... it's a silent movie, and then there's a lot of talking. So there's a kind of... there are a lot of questions about balance, about how to tell a story. I mean, the way the black functions in the film. And so I think probably this film is the most... you know, I think every time you make a movie, first of all, probably whatever you... I was talking with Guillermo del Toro yesterday, who was a huge fan of the movie and has been very, very verbal, and he's so smart. And but he said, you know, we all make one movie in our lives, basically, and they're all in different panels, which is true. And it's a body of work. And I probably couldn't have made this film before. I know that I couldn't have, and I wouldn't have. And so from Basquiat, which I thought... I didn't try to reinvent the wheel when I did that. I just knew Jean-Michel, tried to tell the story. I was a participant, a witness to a lot of those events. But after making six films, I guess I got more familiar with the materials, and after making The Diving Bell... you know, start to think of how you want to tell a story. And I think I like to tell a story in the first person. So you feel like you are Vincent Van Gogh. It's not really about him. It's about being. And it's not really just about Vincent Van Gogh. It's about anybody that ever wanted to make anything. And it doesn't stop, because somebody... all art is something that is made by one artist, and like a note is handed to the next one. People that aren't born, or people that... kids that will go see something will get a spark somehow. I mean, and then... it continues, and the objects are there, and they have a discourse with each other. I mean, there's a dialogue between the dead artist and the live artist, but the art is alive. So,
what about Willem Dafoe to play Vincent Van Gogh, casting him? He's an obvious physical choice, but what else?
Well, I didn't realize he made 100 films, but I've known him for 30 years. And he has done theater, very physical theater, avant-garde theater in New York. He's worked in big movies, small movies. I mean, he is a yogi. I mean, he can tie himself into a pretzel. I mean, he is also one of the most generous and gentle people you've ever met in your life. And I think this film gave him an opportunity to show this prismatic... he's like a Rinpoche, you know. He can kind of... I mean, Gary Oldman can do that. Willem can do that. I mean, there are very few actors that are really... I mean, that they are... there's this otherworldly thing about them. And I think that for me, as his friend, I thought if I didn't ask him to play this role, I would not be a good friend, and I would be robbing him of something he needed in his life. And I think I would have been robbing myself of the privilege of having him do something so extraordinary. I think his role is... I can't imagine another performance by anybody else this year or in the next 10 years that is anywhere near what he's doing. That doesn't mean that he's going to get an award. I mean, this whole award thing is so shameful in a way, and the audience is... you know, you can either try to placate the audience. I mean, somebody once asked me, if you were going to make your movie for a big audience, what would you change? I said, I wouldn't change a fucking frame. So I think he did a great job, and so did all the other actors, but he's amazing. We had some great actors. I mean, Oscar and Matthew Almerich and Maz and Emmanuel. I mean, everybody that was there. We all know each other well and love each other, and there's not a lot of self-hate in this movie. A lot of trust. I think you have to go now.
Yes, we do. Thanks so much. This was an interview in Marrakech Film Festival with Julian Schnabel for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.